Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. You know, there are many wonderful things about a baptism, but one of them that I've always liked, and that is that a baptism in a little baby can really go a long way in overshadowing a weak sermon. We'll try not to let that happen, but I thought I'd just point that out. I'd like to begin this morning by telling you a story about someone that I know. We're going to call him Bill. One, that's not his real name, and two, it's easy for me to remember. I met Bill, I guess, probably somewhere between 25 and 30 years ago. He moved into the neighborhood, and of course, living out in farm country, that could be anywhere from 200-300 yards to 2-3 miles or more. But he was relatively close. He just lived down the road. And through different friends and stuff, we got to know one another well. And I realized just how wonderful a man he was. And not necessarily a church-going person, but someone that everyone would love to know. He just had a big heart. He loved people. And he'd love to do for people and be with people as much as he could. Now, this gentleman, for a living, he did a great many things. He had just a wonderful assortment of toys when it came to equipment on the property. He always drove a full-size pickup truck with a full-size back seat, which I'll get to in a minute, with a full-size bed, and then towed a dual-axle trailer behind it because he scrapped metal just for something to do. He was an oil distributor. Okay? He plowed snow in the winter with that great big truck. Okay, we all know what that's like. You're out in the middle of the night. Sometimes you're going 14, 16, 18 hours at a crack to get your customers taken care of. Him and I shared a passion in target shooting. He loved to shoot clay targets, as did I. He developed a love for hunting, and he became a deer hunting partner, and a reliable one. And that's important, by the way. A reliable deer hunting partner. And we shared many days together hunting right there in the neighborhood. When I moved up north, I had shepherded a youth trap shoot at the local sportsman's club for 3 years. They had no one to take that over when I leave. Bill took it over. It's still going on. It's still going strong. He's a wonderful, wonderful man with a tremendous amount of energy. He gets as much and more done in a day than anybody I know, and you're probably wondering why I'm telling you this. He did it all from a wheelchair. Many years ago, he suffered a motorcycle accident. As he likes to remind once in a while, he wasn't driving, but it left him paralyzed for life from the waist down. Now, before I met Bill, I knew of him. And I knew of him at a portion or a time in his life where life did not seem good to him, and he certainly wasn't good to it. He was extremely reckless. He would get on a snowmobile impaired the way he was and literally would flop off the back like a flannel shirt on a clothesline. That's how fast he would drive. Nobody could keep up. He drank heavy, almost to the point where you looked at him and you thought that he literally was trying to kill himself. He struggled at that point in his life that the loss of his legs meant the loss of everything. That he wasn't good for anything anymore, that there was no need to be around. So he just continued literally to tear at himself. And as I said, I knew of him at that time, but did not know him personally. I don't know where the change came. Him and I have never spoke about it. But one day, he went dry. He joined AA. He surrounded himself with a group of people that did not drink, okay, did not abuse drugs or alcohol. And his entire life changed. And even in a wheelchair, he's one of the most productive people I know. And struggling for something to start this sermon with, if the Holy Spirit isn't at work, I spoke with him just yesterday on the phone. And it reminded me of that. But he had a dark time. He had a dark time where he simply wanted to cash it in, where he simply wanted to move on because he couldn't see the point. I've never had a time like that in my life physically. God has been good to me physically. Through many of the different things that I've done, my body is not what it was 20 or 30 years ago, but for my age, it's still pretty good. There was a time, however, financially, running a business, where I felt that kind of pain, where I wanted to walk away, where I wanted to say enough was enough. And I was prepared to do it. Somewhere, somehow, it just didn't feel right, didn't seem right. And you know what? It worked its way out. It was okay. More than likely, there are times we can all think about times like that in our lives. I think about people that have lost a close sister or brother. We have many people here in the congregation today who have lost spouses, that companion. And the question still comes, what's left? Doesn't matter whether it's physical, mental, spiritual, we struggle and we ask, what's left? And we realize through the love of God in Christ Jesus that God isn't done with us yet. Elijah felt the same way. As we heard in the reading, Elijah did not travel a day's journey out into the wilderness on a pilgrimage. He traveled there out of fear for his life. He had been persecuted, tormented, threatened, driven out of town. He was hungry, he was weak, he was depressed, he had had enough. He found a broom tree and wanted to lay down and die. And he asked God to do just exactly that. God sent an angel to wake up, eat, drink. He went back to sleep. God sent the angel again. Eat, drink, prepare for the journey, for this will last you for 40 days. By the way, does that number ring a bell? 40 days in the wilderness was Jesus. And Elijah picked himself up one more time and traveled to Mount Horeb and continued. Because even though he felt himself at that point worthless, no better than his ancestors before him, no stronger, no better, he said, God's not done with me yet. The Lord has willed me to continue because the Lord has a purpose for me. God chose Elijah. God chose many in the Old Testament. Jesus chose his disciples, and through word, gospel, sacrament, the Spirit works, and the Spirit chooses us as well. God's elect, but that isn't always easy to be that, because there are these dark times, like Elijah, like my friend Bill, like myself, like all of us possibly at some point in our lives have dealt with. We need to walk through these. And the grace in today's sermon, the grace in today's gospel is that Jesus is the bread that feeds. Just as God baked bread for Elijah, in Christ Jesus, God gives us an eternal bread, a bread that feeds us constantly, continually, in this life and in the next. That when we think we're done, God's not done with us yet. In our service to others, when we think we're done, God is not done with us yet. With proclaiming the grace of God in our joy and our successes, God is not done with us yet. In proclaiming Christ crucified in our suffering, in our grieving, God is not done with us yet. Because in Christ Jesus, he's always there. He's always feeding. This is what we share. In our Lord Jesus Christ, we share an eternal bread. We will feast on that again today in our Lord's Supper, where we reach out and touch God. Yes, folks, that's what's happening. A real event. Christ in, around, and under the bread and the wine. It is not a ritual. It is physical, and it is real, and it's there for each and every one of us, each and every time we gather, each and every time we commune. God promises to be with us always through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we receive Him today, so that no matter where the journey lies, no matter how hard the struggle gets, no matter how bright or how dark the door, we know that God isn't done with us yet. And we know that should that day come, when we walk through that final dark door, that through Christ Jesus, there's light there too. And God most certainly isn't not just done with us. He's just getting started. Amen.